Judges chapter 7, verse 1. This is the word of our God. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands. For Israel would become boastful, saying, 'My own power has delivered me.' Now therefore come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead.' So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But everyone of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'You shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink.' Now the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, 'I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let all the other people go, each man to his home.' So the 300 men took the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands, and Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you're afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp. And you will hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp.' So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outposts of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, 'Behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. And it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell. And it turned upside down so that the tent lay flat.' His friend replied, 'This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand.' When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands.' He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into their hands of all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, "For the Lord and for Gideon."' So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as far as the edge of Ebel Moholah by Tabath. The men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, 'Come down against Midian and take the waters before them as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan.' So all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. They captured the two leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb, while they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. Then the men of Ephraim said to him, 'What is this thing that you have done to us, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian?' And they contended with him vigorously. But he said to them, 'What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has given the leaders of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb into your hands. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. Then Gideon and 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary, yet pursuing. He said to the men of Succoth, "Please give loaves of bread to the people who are following me, for they are weary, and I am pursuing Zebah and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." The leaders of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna already in your hands that we should give bread to your army?" Gideon said, "All right, when the Lord has given Zebah and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will thrash your bodies with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." He went up from there to Penuel and spoke similarly to them, and the men of Penuel answered him just as the men of Succoth had answered. So he spoke also to the men of Penuel, saying, "When I return safely, I will tear down this tower." Now Zebah and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000 men, all who were left of the entire army of the sons of the east, for the fallen were 120,000 swordsmen. Gideon went up by the way of those who lived in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and attacked the camp when the camp was unsuspecting. When Zebah and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them and captured the two kings of Midian, Zebah and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the sons of Joash, returned from the battle by the ascent of Heres. And he captured a youth from Succoth and questioned him. And then the youth wrote down for him the princes of Succoth and its elders, and 77 men. He came to the men of Succoth and said, "Behold, Zebah and Zalmunna, concerning whom you taunted me, saying, 'Are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna already in your hand, that we should give bread to your men who are weary?'" And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and he disciplined the men of Succoth with them. He tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. And he said to Zebah and Zalmunna, "What kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor?" And they said, "They were like you, each one resembling the son of a king." He said, "They were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if only you had let them live, I would not kill you." So he said to Jether, his firstborn, "Rise, kill them." But the youth did not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth. Then Zebah and Zalmunna said, "Rise up yourself and fall on us, for as the man, so is his strength." So Gideon arose and killed Zebah and Zalmunna and took the crescent ornaments which were on their camels' necks. Well, that is the word of the Lord. At the beginning of chapter 7, the battle is beginning to form. The people are taking their places, but we need to notice that verse 2 is key here. You have heard perhaps commentaries or preachers make a pretty big deal about the difference in the character of the men who drank the water, who lapped with their tongue, and how they're different from those who are kneeling. Perhaps you've heard men who say that, and by which the Lord narrowed down the numbers. That's to say that there's a difference in the character of those men is outside of this story. It's completely false, I'd like to say. One has to bring something to the text or read something into the text, which is called eisegesis. And the key here is verse 2. Why we can say that those things are false, because the key here, it says, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful." Here is, the goal here is to glorify the Lord. The men that are lapping and the men that are doing the work, they don't matter. That's not the point of this story. That's not the point of this text. The point is here, how will Israel not become boastful, but rather that they would glorify the Lord and be boasting in the Lord. And here they have to realize that they are weak. The Lord knows that they are weak, but He wants to show them that they're weak and He is strong. So that when the battle is over, they can't believe, Israel can't believe and say, "My own power has delivered me," like it says there. And at the end of verse 2, it must be the Lord's power, and praise must be given to Him. So the Midianites in verse 12 are huge. In chapter 8, we learn that the number who were killed were 120,000 men, and that's compared to the 300 that the Lord brought up to fight against them, and they didn't even fight. They didn't fight at all. They blew trumpets. They were around them. They showed the lights. They blew the trumpets. And the Midianites killed each other. Verse 22, the Lord set the sword of one against another. The Midianites, their swords were set against each other because they were confused, probably. And after Midian's defeat, Israel did not attack. They pursued pursued those who fled. They didn't kill every single... Not everybody was killed in that. Only 120,000. Only 120,000 were killed. And what does it say? 15,000 remained, those who fled. Now, remember last week in chapter 6, it was Gideon who was fearful of the angel of the Lord. He was fearful to go by day and destroy Baal, the idols, Asherah. And he was fearful to go into battle. The Lord is trying to show you that not only is Israel needs to be weak, and they are weak, but that Gideon himself is weak. And yet he encourages Gideon here with Purah, his assistant, in verse 10. And further encouragement comes when he goes down to the camp and he hears the dream and the interpretation of the dream, knowing that the Lord will deliver them and will destroy the Midianites. So Gideon's faith is strengthened and he worships the Lord, verse 15. Beloved, God's people often appear weak and are weak, aren't they? We are weak in His sight, in God's sight, and so that He can be their strength, that He can show forth His glory. And that's what He's doing here. Then Gideon, we learn, called up some of the other tribes. We get into chapter 8 now. He called up some of the other tribes of Israel to help in destroying the rest of the Midianites who were fleeing. He had called Ephraim up and they were helping. And then at the beginning of chapter 8, they come to him after they do their duty and they come in pride. Why didn't you call us up to fight against these people? Well, the Lord has already shown us why, because Israel, you need to see that you're weak and that the Lord needs to be glorified, not Israel, not Ephraim. But Ephraim desired that glory, didn't they? They wanted that glory for themselves. And Gideon convinces him that he really hasn't done anything himself except for blow a trumpet, show a light. And they had actually done more than he had against the Midianites. And so then they leave him alone. And then he moves on and he comes to Succoth and Penuel, the cities there on the further to the edge of Israel. And Succoth and Penuel desired to not support Gideon. They were weary and Gideon called upon them to help them, to give some provision, some food. If they did not, and they didn't completely get rid of the Midianites, I guess the question was for Succoth and Penuel, you know, what if you can't destroy the Midianites? What if you can't destroy the Zebah and Zalmunna? What would happen? Well, the answer is that the first cities that would be attacked would be Succoth and Penuel. These people were scared. What if Gideon and the men, who were only 300 people, up against 15,000, what if they didn't destroy them? Succoth and Penuel would be destroyed. And so here, Gideon himself is weak, we know. He fears his situations that he's in. And Gideon is also weak in the eyes of Israel. Israel, Succoth and Penuel look at him and they say, you're not going to destroy these men. So we can see that also when we look at God's people. They can appear as weak. We can look at each other and we can see that it looks like to us that they're weak, and yet we need to remember that He, the Lord, is strong. One commentator says, watch out that it is not your passion for status, like Ephraim, or your pursuit of security, Succoth and Penuel, that disturbs the unity and saps the energy of the church. Though Christ's power is most fully displayed when His people are weak, we must take care that we ourselves are not the cause of such weakness, that it's not our sin that we shrink back, and that is the cause of our weakness, but just we in ourselves are weak. The Lord said He was with Gideon. The Spirit is with Gideon. It's the same for us. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with His people by the Spirit. And so we should remember that even though these people around us, we look around at each other, that we're weak, yet we should know in the strength of Christ and the Spirit that's within us, we should remember yet that they might appear weak, and we might appear weak, and they might appear, each one of us might appear weak. They're actually strong. They're strong in the Lord. And so, remember as we look at this passage, there are many things to learn here, but one thing we can learn is that we look at the weakness of these people. But it was the Lord who showed His strength in the midst of their weakness. And He does the same for His church. Shall we pray? Father, we do pray that You and Your Son would be the strength in our weakness, just as You say in Corinthians, and that Your grace is sufficient for us. And we praise You that You are the God who is the Creator, the God who is all-powerful, even in the midst of our weakness, even in the midst of evangelizing or telling people about the gospel. We are weak. We understand that. We can't communicate the message clearly or perhaps logically or orderly, and yet it matters little because You are the God who is strong, and You use the word, Your word that is spoken, and You change people's hearts when You desire to do so. Even where we see, as we look out into the world, we say, and we look and we see people who, wow, they really do look like they could be a good Christian. And yet there's other people, perhaps prostitutes or criminals, who we would think would never be a good Christian. They would be a horrible Christian. They would never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have friends we know that we think in the back of our minds and our hearts that they could never come to have faith in Christ. And yet it's those people, those who are weak and poor, and especially that God raises up to show His glory. Lord, we pray that You would do so amongst us, that You would raise up those who are poor. You would raise up those who are weary and who are not strong, but appear very weak, that You might show Your glory so much in a greater way. And You would convince us and strengthen our faith as we doubt Your power, Your saving power. Or we think with man it's impossible, yet with God it is, all things are possible, even the salvation of such wicked and heinous people. Those people who we were at one time, and yet we still doubt. And so we pray that You would be the God who raises up Your people and saves Your people. Grow Your church. We pray that You would give us strength to glorify You as we worship, as we live our life, as we proclaim Your word. We pray that we would be strengthened to do that, and yet not become discouraged when things don't go according to our plan, but that we would pray we would walk an understanding of Your providence and Your plan, Your will, and that we pray in all things that Your will be done. Father, be with us as Your church. Again, we are weak, but You are strong. Put that hope within us, and that boasting and that glorifying of You in us, that our desire would be to bring all praise to Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.